Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pixels Podcast, the only podcast where we want to continue buying Nintendo Switch special editions. I am your co-host, Christian Travis, and with me we have Sophia Wood.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Sophia, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
Not much. It's been a while since we last recorded anything together. How's things been going?
Good. Just, you know, working on uni stuff. That's pretty much it. My life isn't that interesting.
It's your last semester, right?
Yep, last semester.
That is so crazy. I bet you're excited to come back to the States, aren't you?
If I come back to the States.
You are coming back to the States. You don't have a choice. If you don't come back to the States, I'm going to commit seppuku.
Oh, wow. That got tragic.
Yes, it's going to get really tragic, and it's all going to be on your fault.
So anyway, we have to cancel the podcast, Chris,
because Chris
stabbed himself.
Yeah. Anyway, anything new, exciting in life overall? Like, I don't know. Are you like working on any cool projects at school? Are you, I don't know. Are you working on any other podcasts? Any other?
I just started a new podcast.
Oh my god, that's so weird.
I know. That's so weird that you brought that up because it just happens. That I have a new one called Is It Too Late to Drop Out? And it's about uni life and getting ready for uni life and embarrassing stories from uni life. And it's going really well.
Wow, good. I'm so happy. I see that you're recording with very nice microphones. So I'm very jealous that I cannot touch them.
I posted a Snapchat of the microphone we're using, and within seconds, Chris was like, "What microphone is that? Where did he get that? Oh my gosh, it's so amazing!" It's like, "Well,
for anybody who's into audio, they know the Shure SM7B is the standard for radio broadcasting, and that thing costs $400. So, of course, I do not have it." But yeah, no, for sure. That's exciting stuff for someone that's into audio. I like those microphones, and I'm going to fly over there to steal one and then come back and get you in trouble with your school.
I just love that there's one downstairs, and I'm like with my 25-pound mic.
How
that can
dare
pick up all of my laptop sounds, just struggling real hard.
How dare you just let that sit downstairs and not use it right now? You could have had better audio than I did.
I could have had better audio this whole time.
Yeah. Also, just a side note, Sophia, I hear an echo, so if you could lower your headphones just a tad, just so I don't get that feedback, that'd be great.
Is that bad?
Yep, I don't hear anything anymore. Anyway, so basically we're going to be going through what we normally do, guys. We're going to go through a little bit of news. We're just getting back into the groove of things since Sophia was gone, and then the week prior, I messed up the schedule and I thought she was gone that week, so I didn't plan to record. But yeah, we're going to get back into the groove of things, you know, do our usual back and forth, sharing some news that we found interesting throughout the week. And then starting next week, we'll probably be back to like normal and have a little bit more of a substantial amount of news to talk about.
Hopefully I'm not traveling anytime soon, so it should go much smoother.
Yes. I think you got all your traveling out of your system for the next couple of weeks.
I was stuck in Berlin for a very long time.
Yes. I heard the coronavirus is over there now.
Apparently. Oh, God. I didn't know that.
Oh, no. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm busting your chops. Yeah. So, Sophia, how about you look like I read your first story. Why don't you go with that first and then I'll go right after you?
Oh, was that your easy segue? Was that your attempt?
It was an attempt, but I wasn't fully thinking about making it into a segue until the end of my sentence, and then I was like, it's too late.
It was too late.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't we try that again? So I'll say, the coronavirus, you say? Well, that's so funny, Chris, because I have a story that ties directly into that.
Look at you. You're so good at segues.
I know, right? I practice in front of the mirror every day.
Yeah. You just say topics and then you think about other things they could connect to.
So, anyway, coronavirus. So, both PlayStation and Facebook Oculus have cited the coronavirus as the reason they won't be participating in this year's Game Developers Conference in San Francisco. I have a quote from Oculus here from IGN that says that the company will be removing our boot booth footprint and they're advising all employees to refrain from travel during the show. And then PlayStation said, we've made the difficult decision to cancel participation, and we felt that this was the best option as the situation related to the virus and global travel restrictions are changing daily. We were disappointed to cancel our participation, but the health and safety of our global workforce is our highest concern. We look forward to participating in the GDC in the future. So this did surprise me a lot that they're going to this length.
You know what's wild is I don't think this is only GDC. I think PlayStation has also avoided PAX this year, which I'm going to look up right now.
I did hear that. Yeah, I think that is true.
So are they avoiding PAX and GDC? Because GDC is only a week after PAX as well, or something like that.
Avoiding both because of, I think it does make sense because it isn't, I don't think it's the coronavirus. It is how the travel restrictions are changing so much. They probably wouldn't be able to keep up for it if there was an unexpected change, especially with so many people over there they'd have to pay for and stuff. So it does make sense. It's just a shock because it is a big loss.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to put like my tinfoil hat on and start coming up with conspiracies and stuff like that. I think it's pretty straightforward. But here's the thing. I thought like big companies like PlayStation and like Nintendo, they all have branches here in the United States. So I would assume that if they were going to a United States conference, that they would just have people that are already in the States go to that, go to it.
Yeah, you'd think so, especially somewhere like San Francisco. That would be where they were big area. Based. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's more of a concern of like just in general, like God forbid someone from outward came in and had it as opposed to like people bringing it over, you know?
Yeah, that is true. It is because it is. People are going to get sick with a huge amount of people, not coronavirus, just anything. There's going to be a huge amount of people from everywhere, especially traveling, and they're going to pick things up from planes and then they're going to go into this big mass of people. Things are going to spread. It's just, I guess, they're especially cautious because of the coronavirus. They don't want to take any risks. It is shocking that it's gone to this length, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that people literally call PAX, like, people assumed they get sick at PAX, and they call it, like, the PAX plague. So I think they're just taking the necessary precautions to make sure that that's avoidable at all costs because people are in such close quarters with each other. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm disappointed. I know a lot of people were looking forward to going to play the Last of Us demo as well as a Final Fantasy demo. So this is a little disappointing in that aspect because we're not going to get any information on that now unless like PlayStation, because I don't, you've been out of the game for a little bit, Sophia, but PlayStation apparently a few weeks back, like people found data in it or like found like something saying basically that the demo for Final Fantasy, what is it? The new one. I forget the number.
Oh, well, number 33 at this point.
Yeah, but it's a remake. 57. So it's a remake. So
I mean,
it's
isn't
like
every Final Fantasy game a remake?
No. How dare
isn't
you say
it,
that?
I'm gonna be really annoying. I'm gonna open my really loud drink.
Oh, I'm stupid.
I want to say it now because you're gonna hear it. There we go. It's open.
I hate you. No, I'm kidding. It's Final Fantasy VII. I'm a fake fan, even though I've never really got into Final Fantasy. Basically, people found evidence saying that the demo for it's already uploaded on the PlayStation Store, and it's been up there for weeks, if not like a month or two. And people are just wondering, like, when is PlayStation going to have this available for people to actually start playing? So, unless like PlayStation makes it available during PAX or GDC or something, I think people are just going to be disappointed because we're so close to this game and we're still not anywhere, like, we don't have any information on it other than it's a remake and they're splitting into two different games.
Well, I guess I think the best we can hope for is just, I guess, social media at this point, releasing information on social media, and that's kind of it if they're not going to go to any conferences.
Yeah, but like PAX and GDC are a great place for not just like reporters to try the new games in development, but also for a consumer. So sure, we'll get this information, but now we won't see how like the general public will enjoy or like the game so far, you know?
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying. I think I rely a lot on people who've already played the game during these conferences when new games come out. So it's disappointing that they're missing out on this, and it might actually impact their game sales, you know? But I guess that just shows how seriously they're taking this.
Yeah, I mean, it's Final Fantasy. It's going to sell well no matter what. It's just, it's disappointing that we're not getting any information. It's like little sprinkles here and there. But
I feel like PlayStation especially has been like this a lot recently, where they don't want to share much information until they're really ready. I think that just is their strategy of controlling the information.
Yeah, I guess they're doing a lot of weird stuff there. We could just have a freaking field day talking about how they handle things marketing wise. But yeah,
I mean, when you're on top of the game, you have room to do this stuff, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but only to a certain extent. Like, people are having fatigue just waiting for more PS5 details. People have been waiting for this for forever, and they recently put out like a press thing saying, oh, we aren't ready to tell you guys anything, and they didn't give any information on like, oh, we might be ready in like a month or two. They were just like, at this time we're not telling you anything, which is so annoying.
Like, the question of what's going on behind closed doors with PlayStation right now.
Yeah, well, actually, we could actually, I didn't even write this into our news because it's kind of old news and we've just been gone, but I'll touch on it real quick. Basically, people are speculating that PlayStation is having some trouble basically ironing out final details with chipsets and other little parts and stuff to make it a costly system, or like cost effective system. Mm-hmm. So they're basically saying that, like, especially because of the mobile market, a lot of companies prioritize more mobile sales compared to console sales, because obviously there's more phones out in the world than there is game consoles. So the parts that PlayStation are wanting from certain chip manufacturers are a little more scarce, because, you know, these chips are actually going into phones, and they don't want to set aside the stock just to put them in like a gaming console, you know? So
yeah, that's really interesting.
So they're trying to iron out and find a way to like get these chips without spending an arm and a leg, but right now it sounds like it's gonna cost about $460 or $50 just to make this console, which doesn't include shipping it and like all the legal stuff. And you know, MSRP usually ends up being a little more expensive at the end of the day, so people are kind of worried that like it's going to be a $500 to $600 system now, because of course these companies sell consoles at a loss and make up the money with software, but this is going to be far from that. Like, you're still going to be spending an arm and a leg, and PlayStation is still going to be losing money, you know?
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Yeah, so. But yeah, so as I guess that definitely has stuff to play, but right now, like, we're in a weird position because PlayStation can't announce anything because they're in the middle of that. Xbox doesn't want to announce anything until they just at least see the hardware they're working against. So it's more of like a game of chicken right now, where just like people, it's like, I'm not going to do anything until you do something. And it's like, we're not going to do anything until you do something, because they want to see what the competitor is doing. But yeah, do you understand all that? I hope you understood all that.
Yeah, you explained it very well. It is, you know, at the end of the day, I think people rely on it too much. I think it's just, it is a matter of just waiting. And I feel like we say that all the time with games and consoles, but it is just, I don't care what they say. I don't care what any company says until I can actually see it for myself.
Yeah.
So I was kind of prepared for this wait.
The only thing that concerns me is the fact that so game consoles appeal to a lot of little kids, and, you know, growing up, if you wanted a game console, you had to save up yourself for most of the time, like your parent, or it had to be a special occasion where your parent bought it for you. So the problem here is if they wait long enough, these young kids aren't going to have time to save up for these consoles. So like if they take it basically like an iPhone approach where they like announce it and then a week to 2 weeks later it's on shelves, that's giving no time for the younger consumer to purchase, to save up to purchase this console. And not to mention for the people who probably want both consoles, then you got to decide which one you want. You have to figure out which one's worth the amount. Like, there's a lot of details that you have to figure out and know about the system before you even make the consideration to buy it. So if they push it to, let's say, E3 to actually give a price, which I think they did that 1 year for, like, PS4. But, like, if you wait until E3, that might be, like, a good amount of time. But if they pull, like, an iPhone approach and they wait until, like, the month or two beforehand, that could really hurt their sales in a certain aspect.
But I think also if we're going that, like, for the new kids who want to get into games and stuff like that, the more expensive they get, the less likely they're going to be able to get into it. Because parents aren't going to spend $600 on a console that a kid might or might not use, you know what I mean? Especially with stuff like the Switch out there that's more geared towards children. And, you know, it just, that seems like an obvious choice for me. If a child's going into this type of thing, they'd rather have a Switch.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. At the end of the day, it's really hard to mess with. It's kind of like a slippery slope that they're working on because they're trying to buy all this extra time, but it's going to affect them negatively. And I mean, again, PlayStation's PlayStation. They're the best-selling console out there right now, so I'm sure they'll do more than fine and probably sell out everywhere. But there's going to be that small audience that didn't get their PlayStation on day one because they got told this information too late, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, does that count as a story for me, considering I didn't write it? Should I go into, like, another story? Do you want to talk about something?
What's your story about?
The other story is really simple. It's actually just the fact that we have a new Nintendo Switch Lite color that was announced.
Oh, I saw that, and I really want it, and it's so expensive.
It's so cute, isn't it? It is a coral Nintendo Switch Lite, and this is the fourth installment of, I guess, installment or version of the Nintendo Switch Lite. And it's actually really cute. Like, if I were actually,
I love it.
As a guy, I kind of want it, so I wouldn't even say. But I'm pretty sure this was manufactured to appeal more to a female audience.
I mean, usually I'd be mad because, of course, we need something pink because we can't handle, like, the normal black color of a whatever, like a pen or whatever. But this does look really good. I kind of really want it.
Yeah, the facts are that the gaming market itself, I mean, the mobile gaming market itself is actually more dominated by females. So I think they're trying to appeal to females in this aspect by being like, hey, this is also mobile and it's pink, like, you should get it, which it's kind of, you know, misogynistic, but, you know, whatever.
Call it out, Chris.
Anyway,
Chris
so
has snapped.
yeah, I am your leader in this. Let a man tell people about misogyny.
As a man, I think.
Yes. Anyway, up until this point, we've actually sold over 52.4 million Nintendo Switch units. That includes.
Can I just say, I like how you say we as if you are also profiting off of that.
Yes, I am actually a millionaire, just so you know.
We, as you know, you and Nintendo made this. 50-50.
Well, I am on Team Nintendo. I will forever be on Team Nintendo. So, we have sold 52.4 million units, and that includes both the standard Switch and the Switch Lite, which is pretty great.
It is pretty impressive, and I really want
to get
one.
That's a high adoption rate for three and a half years, I think, which is pretty crazy. I think that's about half of what PlayStation's are out there, and PlayStation has been out for, what is it, 7-8 years? I don't know. I got to double check that. I think they got announced in 2014. So about 7 years. I don't know.
Come on, 6 years. Get your facts straight. You're
I can't do
to
my
just
math.
Memorize these.
Yeah, I need to start reading more books and memorizing dates. Anyway, so I actually had a question. Do you think this is a way to combat, like, these special editions and colors and stuff are a way to combat the new consoles arriving this year from Sony and Xbox, considering Nintendo has put a statement saying there's not going to be a Switch Pro or anything in this fiscal year?
Do you think this is a way to add new attraction? Because I don't think anyone's going to be like, either I'm going to get another Switch that's pink or I'm going to get a console. I don't think that's going to be ever a choice anyone has. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, have you
I think...
seen the Animal Crossing Switch?
Yeah, and I really want that too.
That one is very aesthetically pleasing. And I'm not saying per se it's to like choose this or that, but I think this is a way for them to maintain sales during this time.
Yeah, no, yeah. It is definitely a way to maintain sales, just to keep in the news, be like, hey, we're still here. You could also have this if you want it, you know. But it's not a way to compete with them. I think it is just a way to maintain their presence in the market.
Yeah, spark interest in it overall. Trying to think, do I have anything else here? Blah blah blah. Do you think that blah blah? No, I think that's about it for that. It's very simple. It's just it's boosting sales. The Nintendo's obviously doing well. This is one of their best selling consoles to date. I'm gonna toss it back over to you, Sophia.
Okay, so it's been a while since we talked about this, so I thought we could circle back. It isn't news, but I wanted to talk about the Xbox Game Pass again. Because you have it for Xbox, I have it for PC. So I feel like we can bring a lot into the discussion, and it is something we should kind of go through. Because it's been a while, and we talked about it when it first came out a lot, and I was really impressed by it. Mm-hmm. But now some time's gone by, and I want to just kind of answer if it's worth it. And I honestly don't know. Like, I don't know if it is worth it. In the beginning, I was super excited because it was like Outer Worlds was on there, and I loved Frostpunk and this and that, and I wanted to try all these games. But then once it lost its newness, I kind of realized there's no way I can keep up with all these games. Like, I can't play them. And there wasn't that much new stuff on there, especially during the first few months.
Well, I don't think the purpose of Game Pass is to just put everything new on there. I know they do throw
new
stuff.
Obviously I didn't expect things to be new on there. I guess it was more like they weren't refreshing it fast enough for me. Not like brand new games, just they weren't adding other games on there fast enough.
I see. I don't know. I think they just announced, I forget what game, let me pull this up. I think they just announced a few new additions, and from what I saw, they're very Xbox Game Pass interesting. What is it? February, so I'm gonna say March 2020. Okay. Oh, it's just like I think they're adding Rainbow Six, they're adding Yakuza.
Yeah, Yakuza, I'm excited for.
Jackbox
that would be
Party
good to
Pack
play.
3, Ninja Gaiden, I believe, is on here.
I definitely don't think the games themselves are bad 3. That they have on there. They are good games, and there have been new added stuff on there. But a lot of the times they add, like, the third game or the fourth game in a series, like Wolfenstein. I want to play Wolfenstein, but I think right now the only ones on there are the second one and then the new one. So I don't want to play like game 2 and game 4.
I see what you mean.
I don't think that's too much of an issue because games rely on continuity a lot less than like movies do. So I don't think it really matters for a lot of these games what order you play in them. I'm not going to cancel my subscription. I do use it quite often. But like me personally, I have so many games I haven't played that I actually own. And then with this on top of it, I just don't know if it's enough to maintain itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, I think it all just depends on... I guess it really just depends on how you play your games and who you're talking to. Because if you like you, you want to play, like, you would love to play a game from, like, here, like, from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
I think they are, I think this still works really well for people who like to just, like, oh, let me just pick another random game from Game Pass this week and see how, if I like it, and try to grab a new audience for them. But, you know, it's just, it depends. I think, I honestly think it depends on who the audience is.
That is very true. And yeah, I think there definitely is, especially those games that I've tried on there that now I don't want to buy because I know I don't like them, or I've kind of finished them, like I'm done with them. But this also is prompted by, I saw a few things talking about how Outer Worlds sales weren't as big as they thought they were going to be. And they did blame Xbox Game Pass for that, because it was on the Xbox Game Pass. No, a lot of people did play it on there. So like, for someone like me, I've already played it on there. I don't think I need to buy Outer Worlds anymore. Whereas before, maybe I would have if I'd heard enough good things about it.
Was there a big problem with that, though? Because I remember reading an article where they interviewed them when it first launched, and they're like, we don't care about the sales as much. We just want people to experience our game, as many people to experience our game as possible.
I did see quite a few articles at the time about it. I don't know if it was because the company itself were complaining, or people just wanted to see the difference, because it was one of the first games that you know, was on Xbox Game Pass as it was being released.
If I remember correctly, I believe Outer Worlds is an the people who made Outer Worlds is an Xbox division. Is it Obsidian?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like, yeah, it's definitely Obsidian. I just looked it up. And it was published by Private Division. So, yeah, they work with at Microsoft. So they should, I feel like it doesn't matter to them how much money they make if they're getting more people to join the service. Because at the end of the day, Xbox is, like, becoming more of a brand than an item in your living room, you know? Because they're just trying to make sure you're on this service, because they want you to be dependent on this service to a point that, like, all new games get added to it, and everybody wants to continue subscribing so they could just keep playing over and over, you know?
I think, it is finding that sweet point, right, of enough people are on it to keep playing the new games.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they added, like, every new game that they could, I would definitely keep, like, paying the subscription. But if it was only every now and again they'll put a new game on there, I'd be like, well, it's not that much of a, you know, of a great service.
Yeah, or you could just, like, subscribe for the month that the new game comes out, play it,
exactly,
and then unsubscribe.
Yeah. And I was thinking about deleting it after I was done. And then I started playing Frostpunk, and I loved Frostpunk. But now I've kind of got bored of Frostpunk.
Well, you see, that's exactly what they hope continues happening. Yes. Is that, like, they're like, hopefully by the time they're done playing this, there's, like, another game that they find out that they want to play. And
I think my issue is they're not adding enough games on there that I'm like, oh, I'll stay for this and I'll stay for that. Because I think I haven't really played Frostpunk in quite a few weeks. And I'm struggling to find something that I really want to get into. Because now I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of, like, bored of Xbox Game Pass already, and I'm like, well, maybe I can delete it and then join later.
No, trust me, I see exactly what you mean. I think it's something that will be ironed out as, like, the service itself gets more popular. So, you know, like, as it gets more popular and there's a bigger reach, there's going to be other companies that are okay with letting Xbox release their game on Game Pass on day one. Like, The only like AAA games we've got, I don't even consider Outworlds really a AAA game, but the only big games we got, oh, forgive me, I didn't sleep last night, we got were Gears 5, and then we got Outer Worlds, which again is a Xbox division. So I think once things pick up, then other companies or other developers will actually be like, all right, I guess it's fine to throw it on Game Pass. And there obviously would have to be some type of like financial benefit to throwing it on Game Pass as well. So I think over time it might get more and more popular to see games launch on Game Pass, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I think it is ironing that stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like going into this next generation, that stuff will be taken care of a little bit more. Because again,
I'm interested to see what else they do and what else they have on there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm actually just pulled up Game Pass on PC because I don't know if I mentioned it enough on the stream to you yet, but I have a PC now and I really am just going through the games that they offer.
Wow,
and they have like a range.
Dark Side. Do you have a Steam yet?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Fantastic.
I have Resident Evil 2.
You've unfriended me on it.
I haven't friended you. I just got it. Like,
you haven't friended
Monday.
Me on it.
I got
yeah,
it Monday.
You should have texted me the second you got it.
I was figuring it out. I was trying to figure out what ray tracing was.
Okay,
which now
we'll talk
I know
later. And I need to show you Humble Bundle because you can get lots of games from there. You need to build up your library
yeah,
now.
I'll learn. Don't worry, I'll learn. But yeah, so anyway, well, I guess we'll see how this unfolds going into the next generation because I like what they have going on here. If I could get most of my big games from just paying like what they have here. What is it called? I think it's like Game Pass Ultimate or whatever, like where you pay like the $15 and it's online for your Xbox and your PC. Like that'd be pretty cool. I would consider paying it. But yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of me done. Just want to have discussion about that to revisit it.
Oh yeah, no, I like that you brought that to the table. That was very, very interesting on that. Because I didn't actually think people thought that way. I was under the impression everybody loved Game Pass, but which you like, you're kind of tired of.
I do. I do quite like it. I can just see that it's going to get tiring unless they can kind of keep it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No problem. So then in this case, we're going to talk about something a little more wholesome. We got the Animal Crossing Direct details that showed up on Friday, Thursday morning, like a couple days ago. And I watched it while I was at work, and I shouldn't have watched it, but I did. And I am what you call an Animal Crossing virgin, so I have never actually played an
Animal
Crossing.
Have you not? Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, so actually, if anything, if you've played Animal Crossing, you could hop in here and help me.
Oh, I played Animal Crossing. I have played Animal Crossing.
Okay, so these are just a couple things I grabbed from an article off of Nintendo Wire by Daniel Del Conero. Daniel Del Conero, yes. Anyway, so breaking that down, we have Nintendo Hourly Music, new Hourly Music. So apparently in the games, every hour a new song goes on, which is kind of cute. So they pointed that out.
That is cute.
At the beginning of the game, you are able to choose your island layout, which I thought was really cool. So,
Sorry, I'm just really excited for it now.
You
sound cool.
You're
what are the differences? Did you see kind of the differences or not really?
For the layouts, it's usually just like there's a waterfall in this area and instead there's a path over here and this, that, things are moved around, like hills and stuff like that, just to give it a different feel, and you get to choose how the setup is. Another feature you might like is you get to choose which hemisphere you live in, which is this affects weather depending on the month.
That is really good. I wouldn't pick mine. I wouldn't pick England. I'd pick somewhere more interesting. Somewhere you can get lots of blizzards.
I think it's literally like northern or eastern hemisphere.
Oh.
yeah. I don't think it's that extensive. But yeah, which is cool because they explained it. They're like, yeah, during these months, it's typically this weather in the United States. But during these months, it's actually this weather across this hemisphere. But I thought that was cute. They're going to have seasonal activities that happen throughout the, the holidays coming in. Like, they'll have a Halloween event, a Christmas event. And my favorite part is once you get to the island, they actually let you choose the location to set up. So, like, if you could walk and explore the island for a little bit and then be like, oh my god, this is a river right here, this is really pretty, and then you could just set up your tent right there and get started, so they don't just like
put you. That's cool. Yeah, so you don't have to pick. That is a really good idea.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I liked that. Let's see. Oh, so I took this little screen grab out, and it was like, you start the island facilities. So the resident service tent will be open 24 hours a day and will provide residents with services like sales of everyday goods, purchases of unwanted items, and helpful advice about living on the island. It will also provide free workshops to help players learn to craft items. After learning DIY recipes, players can craft whatever they like, furniture, and items crafted seem to reflect what color material they're made from. So these starting facilities will show you how to do that, and over time, as you like gain experience and the game progresses, the facilities actually build up themselves. So like, it'll go from a tent to a small building to like a big building to show like progression throughout, which is really cool in that sense, because I just like the idea of like everyone's growing together. It's cute. But yeah, so I liked that. And then there's furniture customization, which you like, if you craft something, it's not all gonna look the same in your house compared to someone else's. Like the patterns can be different. They talked about, I think, it connecting to an app on like Nintendo 3DS or like, I forget what app it connects to, but you could
3DS. You just call 3DS.
Everyone does. That thing was the most sold handheld.
I don't have one.
Yeah, you're the only one that doesn't. But basically, you can make designs on it and have it reflect to in your Switch. So like, you could draw a face on a shirt.
So you can't do this on the Switch. You have to have a 3DS to do this.
I'm not quite sure. I don't know the extent to this, but my understanding is you could use this external app to like draw things on a shirt or like customize clothing. I think there's
it would make more sense if you can get the app on your phone or something than 3DS.
Well, I'll double check. I'll look into it a little bit later, and if not, I'll correct us next week. But for furniture wise, I think you can just customize in your Switch. It's like, if you wanted to customize a shirt or draw something manually, you would use the app.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it sounds pretty. I'm just really excited for this. I'm not gonna be able to play it because I don't have a Switch and I can't afford a Switch right now. But yes. I do. I'm just looking forward to one day.
And I'll send you back with my Switch Lite.
What do you say?
I said just come to visit, and I'll send you back with my Switch Lite.
How many Switches do you have?
I have two, and I pre-ordered the Animal Crossing one.
Of course you did. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it. I told someone at work that I would sell it to them because they want it for their girlfriend. So if he pursues me for that, then I will sell it to him. If not, then I guess I will keep it. But I like to be generous. So if someone needs it, I will give it. Anyway, you could also earn Nook Miles as you progress through the game, which you could use to redeem for Nook themed items. So like, you get Nook's face on it on a shirt, or you can get like basically unlockables that you couldn't traditionally get without Nook Miles. And then one of the most interesting features I saw was there's dangers on the island, so like bugs, scorpions, other things that like, if you run into them, you can get hurt and you have to find a way to heal yourself. So I thought that was an interesting way to add to the gameplay as you're exploring the island. And then, yeah, and then there's a lot of other stuff that I didn't feel like writing down because the article was so extensive. So thank you for that, Daniel. Appreciate you.
I'm just really looking forward to this game. It sounds like they're doing all the right things of keeping it nostalgic enough, but also refreshing it a little bit. I'm excited.
Yeah, Animal Crossing's like a cult, like not a cult classic, but it's the people who love it, love it. Like, people who don't play video games even like this game.
That's the thing. I think this game is like going to bring a lot of people who don't really play video games to get the Switch to play this game.
Yeah, I think that's why they also dropped a new Switch Lite as well.
Yeah.
because like they were just like, also here's another color in case you decide to buy a Switch Lite while you go like to the store. That might actually make a change a choice too, because like you could, I'm sure people were planning to buy a Switch for Animal Crossing, and then now they're gonna go into the store and be like, I was just gonna get the full regular Switch, but this coral color is $100 cheaper, and I like this color, so I'm gonna get this instead.
I can definitely see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even I was like, oh, maybe I'll just get that one instead, and I was like, I still didn't have the money, but.
Yeah. I'm gonna toss it back over to you.
Okay, so again, my next thing isn't really news. It's more of a conversation I wanted to have. And it's about discs. Because a lot of the consoles, obviously the consoles coming out aren't going to have room for discs. And I want to discuss what the future was for that. When's the last time you bought a disc? Like a year ago? Or this year? Or
it was probably... Ooh, it's been a while. I know when I bought it. Doi. I bought it during Thanksgiving, actually. It was a lot sooner than I thought. More recent than I thought.
What was it?
I bought a few games. I bought God of War. I bought Persona 5. Yeah, on discs.
Hmm.
And I bought one other game. I don't remember what other game I bought. But then that same day, I also downloaded Resident Evil 2 because I didn't have the patience to wait for the disc.
That's the thing, right? Because the last time I bought a disc, I think, was Fable 4, and it was a Kinect game, which puts into perspective how long ago that was. And so I would just want to discuss, I literally haven't bought one since then, and like why are discs still a thing? Because personally, I don't think we need them. It just slows down the process. You need to wait to pre-order one for it to come, or you have to go out to get the physical copy. There's no risk of losing it if it's downloaded. You get rid of the clutter. And trust me, it's annoying to have to search through 4 drawers worth of discs to find the game you're looking for, then figure out you've actually put it in the wrong game, so it's not even the game you're looking for. I just love it being all downloaded, all in one place, all on one account, nice and neat. But I know you kind of like this. Like, why do you buy them?
I buy them in case there's an apocalypse and I have games to play.
So you're saying in this apocalypse? Wait, hold on. So in this apocalypse,
I have electricity. Consoles? I was about to say I have electricity. I have a functioning TV. It's just the internet stops working.
Oh, okay. So
it's an internet
just in
apocalypse.
Case the internet stops working. Got it.
Yeah. So that's why for some games I downloaded. Yes. So for some games that I've downloaded, I've also bought a physical copy when it was on sale, like for the ones that I really love. Not actually for this apocalypse, but just because Well, yeah, but only if they're like on sale for like $10. I'm going to buy them a second time. Like, I'm not going to buy them twice if it's like, oh, $40 instead of $60. Yeah. So, but like, for example, I had 2 copies of Spider-Man, which actually I purposely wanted to have both, but I ended up giving to my cousin at the time because she wanted to play it. So I was just like, here, just have it.
That is the thing I do miss with having physical copies. People can borrow them.
Yeah, like at this point in time, I cannot lend you a copy of Resident Evil because I haven't gotten a physical copy yet. Like that's the one thing that stinks about it. But I hear like Steam is trying to make things more fun in the way that like you can play co-op, like play local co-op, but like you guys don't have to be together, which is kind of cool. Like they're trying to bridge that gap, but I still can't lend you my game, which is kind of annoying.
Yeah, so I just want to have a discussion of like, why do you keep buying them? Because I think you're one of the only people I know who buys physical copies.
No, to be in all honest, I buy them because I feel like we're always going to end up getting to this point that like Nintendo does, just prime example, when they cut off their online services. So if, God forbid, one day Xbox is like, okay, you know those games that you played on Xbox One? It were 2 Xboxes like ahead of that now, so we're cutting off the services there. Download all your games now while you can before the services are no longer available. But like, for all I know, at that time, I don't have enough storage on my Xbox to download every single game that I liked and have it with me. So I'd rather just have the physical disc so I could just, like, you know, oh, I don't have to worry about this. It's, I have the copy sitting right here. Like, these are my favorite games. And then the favorite games are physical. And then the games that I kind of liked or like thought would be good to keep around, I just keep downloaded into the system.
Okay, yeah, that, I guess that makes sense. I guess I've got more faith, or I just don't look that much into the future. But I'm
you're primarily a PC person, so we're always going to have like Steam and stuff like that. Steam is not going to be like, all right, Steam's over, so now we're going to do Steam 2, you know?
That is true. But even Xbox, like, I've got loads of games on Xbox, especially Xbox 360 that I still play through my Xbox One.
Oh, yeah, 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 for sure. I feel like that this problem's getting better and remedied, but I think just for the time being, until I'm told, hey, you never have to worry about never being able to play a game you buy again, I'm just gonna, if I see it on sale, I'll pick it up just to have an extra copy. Or I'll just buy it the physical copy right out outright.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So what news have you got for us?
Let me just scroll down. Oh, hey, do you know that game service, I think it's called Google Stadia? So here's the thing. You know how when you buy the controller you had 3 months of the service for free?
Yep.
That 3 months is over.
Yep.
So I have not renewed Google Stadia.
Nope.
I will probably not renew it for a while. And people are getting upset.
Why?
Because I think, what is it? Is it Destiny over here? One of them couldn't access Destiny because they weren't paying for the subscription. But also, you got it for free when you bought the subscription or bought the controller. So, I mean, and I could be wrong. This was something I saw on Twitter, and I pulled up an article about a different thing. So I could be very wrong or just misunderstood or something. But my understanding is, like, Destiny is like a Stadia subscriber exclusive. But, you know, like, here's the thing. We gave it the 3 months. There's still features that aren't being offered that were promised at the beginning, and we're still, they said at 2020 they'll offer the free tier. The only people on the free tier are the people who are the subscribers, the previous subscribers, because they got downgraded to the free tier. There, it's not open for anybody else. The only people allowed to play on Stadia are still the only people who bought remotes and like the bundles and stuff like that. So first off, your audience is still limited. Second off, your games aren't even true 4K when you pay for the upgraded version.
The 4K, yeah.
Your games are limited. And, like, just looking at this article, because I'm dramatic and I found it and I was like, I need to include this. It's by a guy named Nick Fernandez. And it says, if this is how Google treats early adopters, Stadia's in trouble.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Like, there's this one part that I had to read out loud. Let me see if I can bring it, pull it up, because I read it and I was like, this is really funny. They roasted. Oh, it's not even clear that the Stadia PR team knows what's going on with the platform.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge mess.
That's horrible. Like, and he's right, because, like, we're getting all these promises. People are trying to reach out, getting, like, be like, hey, when is that feature? When is this coming out? Like, and they're like, oh, yeah, soon. And then, like, weeks go by, nothing happens, people are freaking out. Like, it's kind of ridiculous at this point. And, like, I hate to rope it in because and kick a dead horse while it's down, but, wait, beat a dead horse, not kick a dead horse while it's down. I just fused two sayings together, but okay. Like, xCloud, last week, just announced that they're bringing the services to iOS phones now.
Yeah.
Like, it is, why is Stadia not on iOS? That is, like, Apple is, like, one of the most popular, at least in America, cellular brands out there. If you could reach that audience, like, that was another thing for me. I don't want to renew Stadia, even though I have some games on there. Like, I would love to play Stadia on my iPhone at work during my lunchtime.
Like, and you can't.
And I can't. So right now, all Stadia is to me is either on my PC, which I don't use often at all. I maybe played Stadia on my PC twice, or on my TV. So,
but if you're home, you might as well play console.
Exactly. So console, quote unquote, because it's not really a console. But yes, like there's no purpose. If that phone feature was there before my 3 months were up, I would have resubscribed and been like, okay, I'll give it another 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. That's half a year. If it's not good by then I'll write it off for good. But they couldn't even offer that. So at this point, I can't suggest anybody use Stadia. I would say sign up for Project X Cloud and try to get in. I'm accepted for Android, but I really want to be accepted for iOS, so I signed up for that this morning.
And yeah, I signed up for a while ago, and I still haven't heard anything back.
For Android?
Yeah, no, for iPhone.
Oh, I thought iOS signups were just like a week ago.
No, I feel like I signed up ages ago.
No, I read the article like less than a week ago.
No, I definitely did it ages ago, 100%.
Are you sure you didn't accidentally sign up for Android?
No.
Okay.
Because Android has been out for ages.
Yeah, but when you sign up, you still have to be accepted for Android. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm already accepted into Android, so then I did iPhone, but I did that like a week because it was before Berlin.
Okay. But not more than a month you signed up?
No, not more than a month.
Oh, okay. Cool. That makes more sense. Yeah, they said when I got a notification saying that they're trying to get back to people within a couple months. I'm like, this is going to be a long wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
But yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up. It says, like, not only are most of the cool features touted during pre-launch events still AWOL, founders are also still waiting for even basic features to drop. The platform is only available on a few screens it had launched with no... Actually, that's a lie. At this point, this might be out of date, because they did announce that their compatibility with other Android phones is now available, so that's good. With no expectation to support more Android devices, yeah, so this is... Let alone iOS. There you go. That's where we were wondering mm-hmm. about. You can't even take a screenshot taken with the dedicated button on the controller, for crying out loud. See?
Yeah,
so it's broke.
Bad. It's a huge mess.
I'm very disappointed because I like Google as a company, and I like my dream was to one day work at Google, but then I realized I'm never going to be that techie of a person. So it hurts me to see that this might be one of those projects that like they end up killing off after a couple years.
Is it already being killed off, honestly, at this point?
Yeah, they're scrambling right now. Anyway, I think it's your turn again.
Okay. I've got great news.
What's your great news?
Jedi Fallen Order 2 might be happening.
Oh, yes, I heard about this.
And I've also heard that Star Wars has allegedly approved the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic game.
Which also excites me, because wasn't that an MMO?
I don't think I've ever played it. I might own it, actually, but I don't think I've ever played it.
Let me see. Knights, because I was like, if they have a Star Wars MMO, I might die.
I think it has none of these have been confirmed, but it is a good time to talk about what we want to see in a new Star Wars game. I haven't played Jedi Fallen Order, but I do have like wishes of what they would add for future games for whatever games they have. I'd love more exploration. Something like No Man's Sky, but in the Star Wars universe, that would be really cool, where you could kind of do more of your own thing, and you don't have to be a Jedi. Or maybe even something kind of like Outer Worlds, where you're your own person, jumping between all these different groups, helping them out.
Oh, I just looked at it. Yeah, yeah. It says an online multiplayer role-playing game. Yeah. So, yes.
That would be really cool. Imagine something kind of like No Man's Sky, or Outer Worlds, some, you know what I mean, like something but yeah, set in the Star Wars universe. I'd like to focus away from Jedi.
Yes, we'd be playing it every day.
Oh yeah, non-stop. Just stop the podcast because we're playing this game.
Yeah, or it just turns into a Knights of the Old Republic podcast.
That would actually be really good.
Yeah, where we just talk about what we did in the game.
That's it. That's the future of this podcast.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, I'm excited. I know EA knows they did well with the previous Star Wars game. Yes.
Yeah.
Which actually I've still yet to finish, which is really sad. But I just hope they don't screw it up. I hope they maintain this whole no loot boxes, no charging to play. So I hope they handle this well going forward, because they have a very loyal fan base that will get very upset if things start falling apart.
Yeah, so yeah, just wanted to touch on that. Can't wait. I think this is one of the things we're gonna have to wait until they start releasing more stuff. Yeah.
Keep an eye out. All right, well, my last one is kind of just off cuff, because it's just talking about so Pokemon Home came out I think like a week ago.
Oh yeah, can you tell me more of it? Because I've seen it a lot, but obviously I'm not a big Pokemon fan, so I don't really know what it is.
Yes, so Pokemon Home. It is basically a way to transfer your Nintendo DS game Pokemon into your Switch game. So what you basically do is you have this thing called Pokemon Bank in the Nintendo DS, and you connect Pokemon Bank to Pokemon Home, and it transfers those Pokemon, I guess, from one server to a different server, so you can now access them to put in your newer games. So this is pretty cool, because now Pokemon Home is not just this little service that they keep in the game system. It's actually in an app in itself, which is really cool, because you could get it on Android or iOS, and I now have all my Pokemon with me at all times. So if I want to trade with someone, I just pull up my phone and they pull up their phone, and we do a trade through our phones. And yeah, if I that want,
pretty cool.
It's really cool. And then there's other features, like you have your national Pokedex in your phone as well, so you could look at the Pokemon you currently have logged in there, and the ones you're missing. And then they have a feature called the Global Trade System, which was previously in Pokemon, I think, Diamond and Pearl, and then I think one or two other games, and then it disappeared for a little bit. But now it's in this app where you could put up your Pokemon into this trade system and be like, hey, I have this Pikachu. I want an Eevee, and you could put specifications. So I want a boy Eevee. I want it to be no less than level 50. And I want it to, all these little details. And the Pokemon goes up into that system. You ignore it. You go about your day. And then you check your app later on. And then it's traded. And it comes back. And then you have your Eevee.
You know what they should do? They should bring Nintendogs back. And then you do that, but for Nintendogs. That's what I'm thinking.
Why would you trade a Nintendog? I would not trade my dogs, because I love them.
No, you don't trade your dogs. You visit them, and then after your visit, if the person you were visiting, you don't have that breed, then you get that breed in your shop. Do you not remember Nintendogs?
I had Nintendogs plus cats on my 3DS. I know exactly what you're talking about. You derailed my conversation about Pokemon. And I'm
sorry,
very upset.
I don't really know anything about Pokemon, and that was I was just thinking about Nintendogs.
Anyway.
That sounds really cool.
It's very cool, and now that this feature is implemented, the only thing they're trying to add in there is the feature for putting your Pokemon Go Pokemon into Pokemon Home.
Yeah, that would be good.
The only catch is for certain games, there's a Pokemon Let's Go series, which is a mix between Pokemon Go and a mainstream Pokemon game for the Switch. And if you transfer the Pokemon from there into Pokemon Home and then transfer them into the new Pokemon game, you cannot transfer them back to the old Pokemon game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it doesn't let you go backwards. It basically only lets you go forward. So from that point on, now you can only have those Pokemon in the new Pokemon game, or just Pokemon Home as a whole, but you can't transfer it back to that old Pokemon.
So does that mean you lose those Pokemon?
No, well, you lose them in the old game, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You lose them in the old game.
Yeah, but you keep them overall, and they're in your Pokedex and stuff in the new game, which I transferred most of mine. I didn't transfer a few because I didn't complete certain parts in Pokemon Let's Go, and I do plan on going back. So, but yeah, overall, it's a very good service. People are loving it. There's Pokemon that you actually earn by using the service. The only thing Yeah, so like after your first trade, you get a Pokemon. After you transfer in your first Pokemon, you get another Pokemon. There's this one legendary Pokemon that has two different forms called Magearna. And basically, if you complete the whole Pokedex in the game, like living decks, so you have to have every evolution of every Pokemon in it, which is over 900 Pokemon, then you get this Pokemon in that exclusive form that has not been available in any other game through Pokemon Home. So I have it already accepted. I will not be getting that Magearna because I haven't collected every Pokemon in the Pokedex in years. But it's cool to know it's there, and it's cool that people who are committed are going to get a reward at the end of it.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's it. Anything for you to add? Any other stories?
Yeah, I've got one more story. Cool. I think we need to talk about dreams.
Yes, dreams. So, I have to get that too.
Dreams is a PlayStation game described as, and I quote, part art game design toolkit, part digital audio workstation, part animation studio, and part social network. And I really like this quote from Polygon. At the heart of Dreams, the latest game by LittleBigPlanet studio Media Molecule, lies a simple yet radical concept. Anybody can be a creator. So I think that really, like, explains what this game is. It's just creation, pure creation. Mainly games, but also, like they said, audio, animation, that sort of thing. And I've been looking through some reviews and what some people can create. And it's kind of amazing. It is really nice what people can do. Despite stellar reviews, however, I'm distracted, I guess, by one thing. What? Among others, Xbox released pretty much their own version of this years ago called Project Spark. And there has been things similar to this before. This isn't the first game of its kind, and it probably won't be the last. So what makes this different? I think
I've never heard of Project Spark.
Project Spark is you could pretty much the same thing. You can make your own game levels and stuff on Xbox, and I think I might have had it for PC, but it was years ago before I left. It was like in high school, middle school. It was years ago, and it wasn't a big hit. People had it, but I think it ended up being kind of a lot of work to put in for not much payoff.
Huh? I didn't know that. Well, I could tell you off the top of my head, Dreams is already doing better the fact that everyone is talking about it, considering I never even heard about Project Spark.
A lot of people are talking about it, and I think they have done a lot of things right in this that Project Spark didn't. And there has been other things that you can create your own levels and whatever else. But for this, for one, they included their own version of a campaign, which isn't only a good introduction to the software, but also a good game in and of itself. It's emotional and has beautiful visuals, and we've heard really good things about it. So a lot of people would get it just for this game that they have a little bit in there. And another big portion of Dreams is dedicated to playing other people's games. And this seems to be going as well as you'd expect. Because some games are fantastic, others are not. I think it's noticeable that these games obviously aren't made by professionals and are mostly flat reiterations of genres that we see all the time. But that doesn't mean that people haven't put it to good use. I've seen some amazing things that just look amazing. And someone said on their reviews, they said they've gone back to play this one game that's just arena fighting. They keep going back to it because it looks so good and it feels so good to play. So this quote's from Polygon. Some of the dreams I found were astounding in their ambition, almost looking like something a person could have built in the Unreal Engine. Others, meanwhile, were short, sweet, and humble, sometimes lasting no more than a few minutes. So overall, I'd say I'd be willing to give this a go. And there are rumors already that it might be released on PC. So what do you think?
Yeah, I am definitely considering, actually, I'm not considering it. Next time I get paid, I'm buying Dreams.
You're buying this.
Yes. I've seen what people could do, and it's absolutely insane. There's someone that completely made Fallout 4 in this game.
That's insane.
Fallout 4, people have recreated Super Mario. Like, can you imagine Mario on a PlayStation? Like, that's weird. And, like, the recreations, like I can't stress to anybody listening, or even you, Sophia, when you have a chance, just look up videos of things that people have created in Dreams, because it's absolutely insane. I don't think I could personally figure it out myself, but I'm going to be playing other people's levels. I'm going to be keeping an eye on what others do, and I'm going to just get a sense of how people actually create them by, like, giving the tutorial a chance and whatnot.
Yeah, but I was looking forward to looking through what people have done.
Yeah, the things are absolutely insane, and the concepts are overall just crazy. Like, some of them are full recreations, some of them are, like, you know, off the cuff, like, top of your head stuff. Like, there's a game about, like, hitting a rubber duck or something like that in there. Like, it's crazy.
I did see some really amazing things.
There's platformers.
Just artwork-wise, there were a few things with just the artwork, and it looked like someone had made a beautiful forest, someone had made a picture of a person just with the paint on PlayStation. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. I look forward to giving this a try, probably, like, next weekend when I have the time. But yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely want to give Dreams a try. I think, what is it, Media Molecule? They're doing great.
Yeah, I think they hit this.
They've worked
out
on this for so many years. Yeah. And they're planning to support it for years to come. And if this comes to PC, forget about it. Like, that's a whole new audience right there.
I think
that's
it would
gonna
do really well on stuff like PC, and even as an app on a phone would do
yeah,
really well.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you could even incorporate coding to a certain degree, too, if you add it to PC.
Oh, 100%. This could be, yeah, like, the new software that loads of new games and apps will be used to, you know, to make them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely giving this a try. I can't wait.
Do you have any other pieces of news, or you want to move on?
No, I think we're good there. I think we should take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk about the games we've been playing.
Sounds great.
Sounds good? Okay, so we'll be right back, guys. We're going to take that short break, as previously said, and when we're back, we will talk about what we've been playing. Okay, Sophia. So, tell me, what's new? What's exciting? What have you been playing?
So, there's two games I wanted to talk about. First, I finally started playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I've been waiting since it came out. I've been desperate for this game. I love the ancient Greece feel. I love the setting. It looks beautiful. It's everything I hoped for. I've been obsessed with it. I think I started playing only yesterday, and I think I've put about 10 hours in. So I'm not that far along, and there's a lot of side quests to do.
And you're 10 hours in. That's crazy.
Yeah, like I've been like, oh my god, this is actually really good. I've been obsessed. I love you can pick a girl to play this time. Everybody loves her. Like, any guide I've looked up, because I was looking up so I could talk about it later, like choices, different abilities you can pick, stuff like that, and everyone's used her as the reference and not the guy. Her name's Cassandra. I don't know what the guy's name is.
Is it because she's better?
She's so much better. She's amazing. I love this character.
I'm so happy. That sounds fun.
It is really fun.
Can you say this game name again? What is it?
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yes. I always get Odyssey and what is it? Origins. Is it Origins?
Yeah, Origins is the one in Egypt.
Yeah, I always get those.
And it is on my list. I want to play that one next.
I have Origins on Xbox, so if you do come home and you're still playing Odyssey, you could just borrow this disc, because I have the disc.
You have the disc? Well, I don't have a disc player, so.
Well, you have an Xbox.
No, yeah, I've got one. I think I've got the disc.
But you have three Xboxes in your house, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them can play a disc?
No, I think Xbox One can.
Okay. Cool. I was like, I'm confused.
No, I couldn't remember. It's been so long. I don't own discs. And what else? I feel like they've figured out the awkwardness of the previous games in the series control-wise. Like, it's quite smooth. It's a bit getting used to because it's not the usual, like, X is attack and A is jump. A is still, like, climb and stuff, but it's moved around since the last few games. Uh-huh. But it's quite smooth. I think they figured out a lot of stuff. It's not like, because the set number two, you take a step and you're suddenly climbing up a building. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to just walk like a normal person. So this one, it's much easier to control that.
And yeah, I never got into Assassin's Creed. Like,
I think this would be a good one to kind of get into, not plot wise, but gameplay wise.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think I never got too into the gameplay of Assassin's Creed because I have tried it two or three times. Like, I've definitely played Black Flag, and that's supposed to be one of the best Assassin's Creed games, and I didn't like
Black Flag, and I couldn't get into it either.
And then I played Origins, and I played that for a little bit, and it looked stunning, like amazing at the time, but I after playing it a couple times, I did like a couple missions, and I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. I've never been into anything that's like a period piece per se. Like anything that takes place back in time never was really my thing. Like I don't like movies that take place in olden times. I don't like Western movies. Like I think it's just who I am. But I keep like every couple years keep buying an Assassin's Creed, hoping like this is gonna be the one that pulls me in. This is it.
Yeah, I think for this one, have you tried two?
I haven't.
You might like two because I feel like that is the most. It still takes place, obviously, in history. I think it's Italy. I can't remember the year, but it's like back, you know, whatever. But I think it's very plot driven. Whereas as you start getting on, it's more like, oh, look at this period setting. It's so nice. But number two is very like kind of like, this is what we want to do. Let's do it kind of thing. You might like it more. Yeah, even though the controls are more fiddly.
Oh, maybe I'll give it another shot at some point, because like I really like, it's one of those things where it's like everyone loves this so much. I want to be part of this. I want to know, and I just can't for the life of me.
Does your PC have a disc player?
My PC have a disc player?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. Let me see. When you don't know, I'm literally pulling it out as we talk. No, it does not look like it.
Oh, man. Because I have the discs for PC for all three of them. Actually, it might be Xbox 360. I don't even remember.
That's great.
I'll have to pull them out because I've got them for 2 and 1 and Brotherhood, and I could have lent them to you, but I don't even remember what they're for now. So long ago.
It's okay. I could probably find like keys online for cheap if I want to play these old ones.
Anyway,
but yeah, what else? Anything else?
I will say there are a lot of cutscenes for Odyssey, where it's literally like I feel like I can't go 5 steps without there being a cutscene, and I'm like, okay, this is cool and everything. You can choose your dialogue, which is cool, but I'm still like, let's move on. Like, let's keep going, please. So I've been playing that, and I've been playing. Have you heard of Backbone?
I don't think so.
I've been playing, there's a free demo of Backbone called Backbone the Prologue, and it's a new game that's going to come out. I don't think it's out yet. And it's just weird.
How so?
It's very strange. You play as an anthropomorphic raccoon in a world kind of like Zootopia, where just all the animals are people, or people are animals, whatever it is, and that's kind of the only thing that's changed. You're a private detective, and a pretty cliche one. Like, it's nothing, like, you know, the character's kind of standard PI angst.
So they're not reinventing the wheel is what you're saying?
No, I don't think so. It is pretty interesting kind of game. Well, you can kind of tell where it's going, where this woman's husband might be involved in drugs, and it's like, oh no, this is happening instead, where it's like underground stuff. Nothing groundbreaking. It didn't really draw me in. I might go visit again, and if you like that kind of stuff, it might be something to be looking into, because they have put a lot of effort into it. It does look quite nice. It's smooth to play. I do like that if you choose the wrong dialogue option, you're stuck with the consequences, and the right dialogue option isn't always the obvious one. So it feels kind of more real that way. But other than that, I don't think there's anything amazing about it.
Interesting. I don't know. That probably wouldn't be my cup of tea. I like those full adventure games and stuff like that. But anything else that you like?
No, that's kind of it.
Okay. Well, I have a lot to unload here, so I guess I'll get started on that. So, previously mentioned, new PC. So, I've been playing something. Actually, it has nothing to do with PC because the obsession started with before my PC. Sophia, I've been playing Apex Legends so much. Legends? You've never played Apex. You never heard of Apex.
Hold on, I'm looking this up.
Basically, Apex is like the new Fortnite.
Whoa, I've never played this.
It's the new Fortnite, but it's so much better because I hate Fortnite so much. And I don't like shooters in general, but I'm so into this game and I don't know why. It's so cool. The cast of characters are great. Each one, even though it's not story driven, feel like you get to know them a little bit and like their backstory just from their character design. There's like one called Lifeline, which is obviously a support character because she heals you while you're fighting, and she has special healing abilities. And it's not just basic Fortnite shooting, because each character gets their own set of special abilities that helps them throughout the game. So like as I said, Lifeline, when she's down, when someone on the team is down, you could click a button and it will release a robot on her backpack, and the robot will help heal your teammate as you're healing, or heal you. And actually, we may actually have to play this. I might have to make you play this because it's a free-to-play game. But then there's like a character called Bloodhound, which has a whole Witch Doctor aesthetic. He has the Witch Doctor mask kind of looking thing. And he talks with like an accent. And there's this one dude called Revenant, which is a robot. And his release trailer was crazy because it started with a normal looking dude. And then towards the end, you realize that Revenant was just like that dude in the beginning. So it's left so many questions at the end of his release trailer that each character seems to have a little bit of a background for these release trailers and some lore behind it that's keeping me playing. And just overall,
is it kind of like Overwatch?
I mean, I would say more so like Fortnite than Overwatch, because Overwatch is very strategic in the sense that you have a tank, a support.
But I mean, it's kind of like Overwatch, where all the characters have their own little bit of lore.
Oh yes, yes, yes. In that sense, yes. Like each one seems to have their own little set situation. It's again free to play game. Many people, they're on season 4, so it's been out for a long time. I just started on season 4 and I'm obsessed, and I've been streaming this a lot. I've been having to force myself to stop streaming it because I play it way too much. So I've been trying to stream like Pokemon and stuff like that in between, because people are gonna get tired of me streaming Apex. But if you're not into shooters, I would still give it a try, because I'm not even into shooters. I hate Fortnite. PUBG was never interested.
I need to download this. But does it rely on Wi-Fi?
Oh yes, of course. It's an online.
Then I can't play it. Not here.
You can give it a try. It's not demanding Wi-Fi.
I'm telling you, it's not happening.
Well, we're having this conversation right now over Zencaster, and it's working.
Yeah, but that's different than streaming a whole game.
I don't know. I'll try it anyway.
It's not going to work.
And I want us to go in guns blazing together.
That sounds fun.
But yeah, so I've been playing that. But then I got the PC, and now I have it connected to my ultra wide. So now I got a bigger field of view, and that's been so much better. And I'm playing in 60 frames a second, which I think it's 60 frames a second too on Xbox, but on PC it's like wider degree, wider angle of vision, wider field of view, there we go, and the 60 frames, and it's just so good. And I'm gonna ask for like a higher, or like a better monitor with a higher refresh rate for like my birthday or something, so it's just gonna look better.
Nice.
Yeah. Other than that, I've been playing around with Pokemon Home. I re-downloaded Resident Evil on Steam, Resident Evil 2, just because I like that game. Also, I wanted to see how graphically demanding it is. It, you know, I have like a pretty good graphics card in my computer. Like, I think it's an RTX 2070 Super, which I'm sure you don't know what that means, but there's like a 2060, a 2070, and then a 2080. So I'm like right in the middle. And it's like still like it's saying if you want this, like this visual quality, you need like another 4 gigs of memory on your graphics card. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, you're still asking me for more. And this graphics card right here is worth $600. Like, no. Or $500. So like, I wanted to give that a try. And yeah, I think that's it overall. I'm sure I've played something else here and there, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But yeah, anything else you want to add, Sophia?
No, I think I'm done.
Okay, well, then I guess we'll end it right here. If you're still listening, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you hanging out with us today. If you want to contact us in any way, shape, or form, make sure to go to Facebook, our Facebook group called The Pixels Podcast, our Twitter called The Pixels Podcast, Instagram Pixels Podcast, so on and so forth on any other social media if we have I don't think we do, but thank you guys so much, and we hope you have a great day. Bye
bye.